Good evening, everybody. Oh, yesterday. Goeienaand, ja, you see. Selfs die Engelsmanne verstaan daar jou. Dat is mooi, man. All right. Did you enjoy the worship? Come on, give the Lord a big hand, please. Well, bless God for that. Are you excited about being here tonight? Who's lying? Nobody. I'm proud of you all. Who's here for the first time tonight? Let me quickly see. You've never been here before. You're always here for the first time. You've got a lasting amnesia. Who else? Wave at me. Welcome. 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 Let me quickly explain. This is not a church. This is just a group of believers getting together to glorify God. Amen. What we are busy with at the moment, we are looking at who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? How does the Holy Spirit work? Who can tell me why is that important? Well, let me answer that for you. Because without Him, you are nothing. And you can do nothing. And you're going to go nowhere. Hello? Now, as with everything, from a biblical point of view, unless you have a good foundation, you are not going to get very far in any case. Jesus gave a parable about two builders that both built very nice houses. And both of them looked nice and both of them were stunning and both of them used good materials. And you know what? Up until the day that the storm broke, you could not choose between those two homes. But the thing is, there is always going to be something that will test you. What is a storm normally in your life? It's when the pawpaw hits the fan. Hello? Just raise your hands if that's never happened to you. It's happened to all of us. For some of you, it happened to you this week, and it's only Tuesday. Hello? You know what I'm talking about. For some of you, you've had such a year. Now, the thing is, when the storms come, it begins to test our foundations. Now, one of the things that we need in our life is the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is the difference between existing and living. Can you understand that there is a difference? You see, there are some people out there in this world, instead of living a full life, instead of living a life more abundantly the way Jesus said we should have it, they simply exist from day to day and they're actually waiting for death to come and take them because it's such a boring old world. There's nothing to live for, there's nothing to hope for, and death seems to be a welcome last resort. That's not what God has planned for you, my friend. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. When you wake up in the morning, God is excited. You know why? Because you are His greatest creation. You are made in His image. And you know what? When He put you on this earth, He had so much plans for you. He is so excited about what you are going to achieve. It's just a pity that we don't know what God knows. But you see, unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we can never know what God knows. Which brings me to what we were talking about. A quick recap. We've already seen that the Holy Spirit is in fact God. The reason I have to share that with you is because I have heard teachers, Bible teachers, sometimes refer to the Holy Spirit as simply a force or an energy, but not a person. The Holy Spirit, number one, is God. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not some impersonal force. He's not some weird power. And let me tell you something. When somebody goes and sits and they cross their legs and their arms go like this and they go, they are not calling the Holy Spirit. They are calling some spirit, but it's called a chocho or a demon or a devil. And they are cursing their life forever. Which brings me to a testimony. I was in a church many years ago and I was preaching. And I cannot remember what I preached on that morning, but afterwards, a man waits to see me. He comes up to me and he says to me, I have a lot of problems in my life. I have tried to commit suicide. I think my marriage is on the rocks. My life is falling apart. Bada bing, bada bang, you know, all of that stuff. I said to him, okay, come, let's have a chat. I spoke to him and this is what he said. He has been seeking for God most of his life. He's been going from place to place. He's actually gone to quite a lot of churches. And he's been seeking God. Because he's got this emptiness inside of him. This void that no matter where he goes, no matter what he does, he cannot seem to fill this void. And this pushes him forward in his quest to find something that can fill that void. How many of you know if you have a lock, there is only one key that will open it? You can try for the rest of your life with all the other locks or all the other keys that you get. You are going to end up being frustrated and you're going to get cramps in your thumbs and in your fingers. Because that lock will only open with one key. Man is built that way. You want to know what's going on inside? You want to know your purpose? You want to know your destiny? You want to find out why have I been put here? The right key needs to be inserted in the lock and your spirit needs to be set free. And what's inside is going to start coming outside. And the gentleman said to me, today when I walked into this church, I felt something was different. And while you were preaching, I felt something begin to happen to me. He says for the first time in his life, he began to feel something bubble inside of him. What did he feel? The Holy Spirit. He felt the person that he was looking for all along. In any case, that's why he was waiting. So now I'm asking him about his life. And you know what? It turns out at that point in time, he is a Reiki master. He spends all of his spare time healing people. How many of you know nobody walked out healed from that place? You walked in there with constipation. You walked out of there with piles and migraine. Ingrowing toenails, one or two ulcers. Hello? Because you have to understand something, the devil cannot heal. Hello? God is the healer. Say with me, God is the healer. Satan can't do nothing for you except make your problems worse. And you have to understand something, because this man is allowing Satan to work through him. Have you ever been touched by the Holy Spirit? Come on, just wave at me. How did you feel after the Holy Spirit touched you? Let's check. How did you feel? Phenomenal. She swallowed a dictionary. All right, but she felt phenomenal. Who else had their hand up? How did you feel? There's no words to explain. And you? Full of life. Who else? Come on, raise your hand if you've got something different. What did you feel? Absolutely fabulous. Wasn't that a TV show once? I'm just checking. Anyway. Awesome. All right. Let me just put it to you this way. When the Holy Spirit touches you, the feeling that you have is amazing, awesome, freaky. You feel full of life, full of power, full of energy. You are excited and life flows through you. Why? Because when he touches you, he leaves a deposit. What deposit do you think is left when Satan works through somebody? If Jesus came that we might have life and have life more abundantly, what did Satan come to do? According to John 10 verse 10, he came to steal, to kill and to destroy. Would that make you, who has had something stolen from them? Right? What did they steal from you? Lots. Bicycle. Bicycle. Money. What did they steal from you? Tools, video machine. Okay, how did you feel when something was stolen from you? Devastated. You? Upset. Who else had something stolen? Anybody else? How did you feel? You can't say. Because she's in the church. Somebody give her a hand. She felt a whole bunch of four-letter words that you cannot repeat. Amen. And we're so proud of you that you didn't jump up and just blurt them out. You know, there's hope for your tongue, eh? Hey, praise God. Anyway, getting back to it. The Holy Spirit touches you. You feel good. You feel energy, uplifted. You feel excited. Life. Life is inside of you. If the Holy Spirit touches you and he leaves a deposit, he's a spirit. Say with me, a spirit. Now, why would you think that a demon is going to do anything different? If the Holy Spirit can touch somebody and leave a godly deposit of enthusiasm, excitement, and life, then when a demon touches somebody, they are going to feel the opposite. What is the opposite of life? death. What is the opposite of excitement? Depression. And so we can go on and on and on. Can somebody figure out by now why this man's life was the pits? Because the more he allowed Satan to work through him and touch people through him, the more Satan was leaving his evil poison inside of this gentleman. That is why nobody that works for Satan is always happy and excited. That's why they like to wear black. Because where you find Satan, you find darkness. That's why they are always morbid. Because Satan has nothing to be excited about. The only thing that he's looking forward to is the lake of fire. Come on, would that put a smile on your dial? No. And that is why they always have a fascination with death. Because Satan is the prince of darkness. Death follows him like a cloud. In any case, getting back to this gentleman. He tells me all of this stuff. I said to him, listen, yes, sir, you know what? I can't tell you what to do with your life. But I want to say to you that you are on a road to nowhere and that you are suffering because of the things that you are doing. Now, taking into account that nobody has ever explained to this gentleman how this stuff works, he said, explain it to me. He came to see me at my office and I explained to him that there are two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Everything that is not from God is of Satan. Whether you call it Buddha, whether you call it Allah, whether you call it Krishna, whether you call it whatever you call it, if it's not from God, it's from Satan. There are two sources of power in this universe. There is the power of God and the power of Satan. Whatever is not of God is of Satan. Whether you call it Reiki or whether you call it artificial mind control, whether you call it ESP, whether you call it psychicness, no matter what you call it, whatever is not of God is of Satan. And I explained to him that the energy that he feels and the power that he feels flowing through him is not the power of God. It is the power of Satan. And that he needs to be set free. And of course, right there, he jumps up and he begins to argue with me. And he gives me all the case histories of people that were healed when they left him and how people could feel this and experience this and sense this. And I said to him, I don't doubt that for one second. That's why the Bible warns us not to mess around with the things of Satan, because Satan is real. You hear what I'm saying? He is real. But unfortunately, he is a thief that came to steal, to kill, and destroy. Unfortunately, he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you give him a pinky, he will take the hand, the arm, and eventually he'll run off with your soul. This gentleman found this very difficult to believe. Because you see, his motivation for doing this was he wanted to help people. How many of you know that it's admirable to want to help somebody else? But when you want to help them, make sure that you help them out of the pit and not into the pit. Unfortunately, a lot of people went to his house and they were pulled into the pit without realizing what they were doing. I said to him, sir, there is one way for us to determine whether this is from God or not. I want you to allow me to pray for you that if this is not from God, that it leaves. How many of you know that if you have received a gift from God, another believer cannot pray it out of you? Because the one in charge is the Holy Ghost. And how many of you know that I'm a lot smaller than him? You think he's going to listen to me? There's no way. And when I explained it to him like that, he said to me, oh, well, okay, that's right. I began to pray. The moment I began to pray, involuntarily, he went into that meditation position. He couldn't control himself. And then he began to scream. You know why he was screaming? Because he felt pain all over his body. For the first time, God allowed him to feel what the demon in him was doing to other people, hurting them. Hurting them. At one stage, the man was in so much pain that it looked like he was going to black out. His head looked like a red globe ready to explode, all the pressure that was pushing up into his head. Eventually, the demon left him. The gentleman could not believe that for so many years he had been deceived by the devil. He had walked around with this evil thing inside of him, allowed this thing to use him to abuse other people and cause an enormous amount of problems. Right. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real. Demons are real, but bless God, so is the Spirit of the living God. We said the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force. You find impersonal forces when you go after Reiki and Feng Shui. You know, the energy has to be this way and that way. The chi has to be this way and that way. The Holy Ghost doesn't care about that. You think the Holy Ghost cares whether you have round arches or square arches in your house? Hello? You think the Holy Spirit could be bothered with you having a frog there, because if you don't have a frog there with a penny in the mouth, you can't be blessed? The blessing of God is not dependent on objects. Hello? You know how many, even Christians, they run around with a rabbit's foot and a lucky penny and, you know, maybe even a rosary or something that they believe is going to bring them good luck. The Holy Ghost doesn't work that way, my friend. He's a person. He's either with you or he's not. And you can't try and trick him by having fancy stuff in your pocket and having a horseshoe over your mantelpiece. Hello? Or even a dream catcher in your window. Because none of those things interest him at all. In fact, most of those things repel him. Where those things are, he doesn't want to be. Because those things belong to the kingdom of darkness. It does not belong to the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit has feelings. We saw that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is the one that seals us. How does the kingdom of darkness know that they've got a problem with me? They can see the seal. Where does the seal come from? The Holy Spirit upon my life. The Holy Spirit upon your life. But we are warned, do not grieve the Spirit of God. Amen? Do not grieve the Spirit of God, because He is the source of your life. And if you grieve Him and He goes away, there goes your life. He is the one that enables us to fight. Nobody can fight Satan in their own power. Come on. You will get squashed. But when the Holy Spirit is with us, He enables us to wage war against the powers of darkness. Hello? The Bible says our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How many of you know there's a big war going on and you are central to it? So why is the devil so busy waging war against us? Huh? Well, he's a little bit afraid of you, isn't he? Come on. He's afraid of you because inside of this man is something that Satan doesn't understand. Inside of this girl is something that Satan doesn't understand. Inside of them is a treasure. Inside of them is gifting. Inside of them is a calling. And if they realize what that is, ooh, just like Paul, they will be dangerous. Just like Peter, they will be dangerous. Just like John, they'll give the devil a lot of headache. He doesn't want them to realize what that is. And so he wages war against us because he wants to discourage you. He wants to stress you out. And he wants you to turn around and say, it's just not worth being a child of God. All of you know at least one or two people that have done that. We call it backsliding. Nobody would backslide if it wasn't for the spiritual war going on. Hello? You think God pushes people away? There is no way. God draws people unto Him. But because of the pressure that comes from the evil one, that a lot of believers simply refuse to acknowledge, because of that war and the pressure that comes from the evil one, and because believers don't know how to deal with the evil one when he comes, he tends to push a lot of people away from God. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can give joy. Listen to this one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. One of the attributes of the Holy Spirit is He's always got something to smile about. Can I tell you why? Because He knows the future, and the future is not as dark as you think. Come on. He knows the future. He sees around the corner. He sees over the mountain. You're still busy climbing it, but He's already checked what's on the other side, and He's all excited about it. He's happy. And when He touches people, people tend to be filled with joy. I said to you, I think 2 weeks ago, one of the biggest problems that we face right now is depression. It's become the sickness of our society. People have nothing to be excited about, nothing to be happy about. They feel dull and empty inside. They feel dead inside. What is the one thing that will counter that? True joy that comes by the Spirit of the living God. Satan has no answer for that because he doesn't know what joy is. He lost it when he fell from grace. Huh? That's why Satan hates it. When we have true joy, he imitates it with dirty jokes. Hello? He imitates it. He wants you to laugh, but he wants you to laugh at people instead of with people. He wants you to make fun of people instead of sharing a joyous event with them. Listen to me. Joy. Stop looking for it in books. Stop trying to find it in magazines. Stop trying to find it in dirty jokes and sleazy stories, because you will not find joy there. You will find a fleeting moment of happiness that'll leave you even emptier afterwards, because after you've laughed at that person, guilt, shame, and condemnation is going to come for you. And what are you going to do then? If you want joy, get more of the Spirit. The Bible says, do not become drunk in wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because when the Holy Ghost comes upon somebody, we have the same experience that we have when we come under alcohol. We feel something buzzing through us, but instead of it taking control and diminishing our capability to think, the Holy Spirit gives us an ability such as you cannot explain. Things make sense. Things are clearer. And you know what? The buzz that you get is godly. Hello? And it leads to joy. It leads to excitement. It leads to life. Judges chapter 14 verse 19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house. Please notice that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he burned with anger. I'm going to say it again. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he burned with anger. Are there times that the Holy Spirit gets angry? Whenever the devil takes a chance, the Holy Spirit is angry. Say that with me. Whenever the devil takes a chance, the Holy Ghost gets angry. Now, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, when the devil starts messing in your life, you are going to feel anger burn. Now you see, before the Holy Spirit came, you get angry at your wife, you get angry at your mother, you get angry at your sister, you get angry at your children, and you kick the dog all over the place. But the Holy Ghost reserves anger for the one that needs to experience that anger. We call him Satan, we call him Lucifer, we call him the devil. Because he's the one that we need to be angry at. Hello? The Holy Spirit burns with a rage when Satan starts taking chances in people's lives. Now, the Holy Spirit knows everything. Yes, He knows what you did last night. Hello? He knows what you did in the second grade. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Please say with me, God has deep things in store for me. Wow. Jeez, like, you don't know what you just said. But God really does have deep things. The word deep means things, indescribable things, things that the human mind cannot come up with, things that we cannot comprehend. These are the things that God has in store for those that love Him. Now, listen to this. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Right now, God is thinking something about this man. He's not thinking about your past, because your past is under the blood. Say with me, my past is under the blood. So if God is thinking something about him right now, what's God thinking about? His future. God is thinking to himself, yesterday you have a bright future. Hello? And of course there's a lot of detail concerning that future. Now here's the problem with most of us. We don't know what that is. But there's somebody that does. God knows and the Holy Ghost knows. Why? Because it says here, listen to this. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. How many times do we have Christians come up to us and say, I don't know what my destiny is. I don't know what my calling is. Well, I don't know either, because I don't know the thoughts of God. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The more time you give to the Holy Spirit in your life, the better you get to know him, the more you're going to begin to know what he knows. How many of you know that if you have a good friend, in time you begin to know how they think, how they feel about this and that, etc., etc. You just instinctively know. Now it's exactly the same. If you walk a road with the Holy Spirit of God, then you are going to be filled with his Spirit. Then he's going to permeate you from your head to your toes, and you're going to begin to understand the purpose of God for your life. The things that right now don't make sense to you begin to make more sense to you the more you are filled with the Spirit, the more you allow him to work in your life. The Holy Spirit speaks. Acts chapter 13 verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and while they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit speaks. While they were praying and while they were fasting, suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke. Now we have seen that the Holy Ghost can think, we know that he can feel, and we know that he can speak. And that is all the attributes that you need to be a person. So the Holy Spirit is what? He is a person. No, he doesn't have a body like you and I. And he's obviously not exactly the same as you and I, because where you can be in one place at one time, he can be all over at the same time. But still, he has all the attributes that you need to assign to somebody a personality. And that brings me to a very important point. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, who is sent to aid us, who is sent to help us, and who is sent to equip us. The first night that we started speaking about this, I said to you that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless, the earth was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering above the waters. And God the Father spoke these words, and he said, let there be light. And instantly there was light. And God the Father spoke these words, and he said, let the waters and the earth be separate. And they were made separate. And he spoke these words, and he said, let there be a sun, let there be a moon, let there be stars. And they came into being. But God was the one speaking it. He wasn't the one doing it. Who was the one doing it? The Holy Spirit of God. You see, my friend, let me explain to you something. God is looking at your marriage right now, and he says, let there be restoration. But unless the person of the Trinity that does this is in your life and in your marriage, God's going to speak it, but it will not come to pass. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the one that takes the word of God and puts it into action. Right now, the Lord might be looking at your finances and he might be saying, let there be finances. Let there be increase. Let there be multiplication. But if the Holy Spirit is not there, then the Word of God cannot be fulfilled. Why not? Because the Holy Ghost is the person of the Trinity of God that makes things happen. He takes what God speaks and puts it into action. You might be sitting here tonight and you might be praying and praying and praying for some breakthrough. For a release of godly favor. For a new job. For doors to open. And guess what? God might have been speaking these things over your life for the last 6 months, 5 years. But the person that's supposed to do it is not really part of your life. So guess what? It's not going to happen. Because the Holy Ghost is the one that does. When you do not acknowledge a person's presence, or when you do not accept that person, you will not get very far with that person. Let me just give you a stupid example. Let's say you go to a party and there is a group of people and you greet three of them, but the fourth one you ignore like a stop street for whatever the reason might be. Then later on you find out that that person is the owner of the company where you just applied, and suddenly now you want to go there and you want to make it up, and you know. Do you think they're going to be interested? Because you've been ignoring them all this time. Now, you see, unfortunately, respectfully I say to you that for years the church has been ignoring the Holy Spirit. We preach about the Father, we preach about the Son, we mention the Holy Spirit. For a lot of churches, the closest they get to the Holy Spirit is confessing, we believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But show me where the Spirit works. You can't. Because they don't make time for him. They don't give him the place that he deserves. There is a story. It goes something like this. There was a little girl that went to church with her mom and dad. She enjoyed going to church with her mom and dad. And after the church services, there was normally coffee and tea. And then she would run around there and she would have her coffee and she would play around with the other kids. But this one specific Sunday, after the cook and tea, mommy and daddy started getting a bit panicky because the little girl was gone. They couldn't find her anywhere. And so they ran around and they were looking all over, but she was gone. And they mobilized a lot of the other people that were there and they said, please help us to find our daughter. We don't know where she's gone. And the whole church began to panic because was it possible that somebody came into the church and snatched this girl? And they were running around and they were going into every office. They were all over the church. And then eventually somebody realized, but there is one room that we haven't searched yet. It was called the basement. So they opened the basement door and they went down into this dark, dingy, musky place. And guess who they found down there in the basement next to the boiler? They found this little girl. She wasn't afraid. She wasn't upset. She was actually quite surprised that everybody was so upset that she was down there. And when they eventually got to asking her, why are you down here alone in the basement? She said, I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. And when they questioned her about it, she said, well, according to her, the best place for a ghost is always the cellar. But you see, she had heard many times the pastor speak about the Holy Ghost and she wanted to meet him. But she never encountered him in the church. May your church not be one of those where little girls have to go to the basement to try and find the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't hang around in basements. The Holy Spirit doesn't even hang around in buildings. If you look around you, this is a church building. But it's not the house of God. The house of God is living vessels. Turn to the person next to you and say, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Tonight, while you and I are here, the Holy Ghost is here. Tonight, when you and I leave, the Holy Ghost is going to leave. Why would he want to be in an empty shell if he can be in a living, breathing human being? Amen. What can he do with this building? Nothing. What can he do with him? He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. He can cleanse the leper. He can speak the word of God. He can lead the blind to salvation. And by blind, I mean those whose eyes have not been opened to God. Amen. He can bring people out of darkness into light. What can he do with this building? Nothing. The Holy Spirit doesn't care about buildings. He cares about the people inside the buildings. Amen. You have to understand something about God. God loves people. I know for some of you that's like a really weird concept. Why would he love me? Well, he does. You see, when he created you, he didn't make a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. He's God. Everything has a purpose, and with everything comes a plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God is excited about you. And God is excited about your future. And the more place the Holy Spirit has in your life, the more you're going to understand what God is excited about. Now, the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. In the book of John chapter 16, verse 12 to 14, it says the following. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. I say to you that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. It says here, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you. Have you ever felt lost? Come on, it's a very big world out there. Have you ever had decisions that you have to make? And those decisions are crucial. And you know that if you make the wrong decision, you are going to have a lot of problems. Well, you see, the thing is, you don't have to go through life alone. A lot of people choose to, but that's out of stupidity. Because we don't have to. You know, when you go into the Himalayas, that is a vast mountain range. If you take the wrong turns, you can fall into crevices, you can get lost, you can lose your life. So what do you do when you are in uncertain territory? You make sure that you get yourself a guide that knows the ropes, and you follow the guide. Because you are going to be in trouble if you don't. But you see, life is like that. Do you know what tomorrow holds? No. Tomorrow you're going to have to make choices. Choices have consequences. Wrong choices bring disaster. But I want you to see what it says there. When the Holy Spirit comes, listen to this. Oh, this is powerful. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you. But he first has to come before he can guide you. The fact that he has to come means that there are places where he isn't. And how does he come? Do you have to say some weird chant? Do you have to go and sit in a pentagram and say your name backwards 20 times and then say Beelzebub, Beelzebub, or something stupid like that? No. Is there some weird method? No. How does he come? You invite him. It's as easy as that. You see, it's so easy that most people think it's never going to work. You know, the Americans, they always have to have a secret. You know, there's no such thing as a good golf swing. Somebody just knows a secret that you don't know. Right? You want good fuel consumption? It's not got nothing to do with your driving style. Fit this weird thing for $9.99. You know? There's always some trick to it. And so the world has come to this place that when it looks so simple, it's obviously not going to work. There's nothing complicated about it. If you want the Holy Spirit to come into your life, you simply invite him to come. Amen? You simply invite him. You come before God in humility. You acknowledge your complete and total dependence on Him. And you say to Him, Lord, I cannot do it alone. Lord, I need You. Please, Holy Spirit, I am thirsty. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. Some people find it very difficult because they are thirsty, but they're thirsty for all the wrong stuff. They don't run after the Holy Ghost. They run after Jack Daniels, Captain Morgan, Jim Beam. What have they ever done for anybody except cause fights, a lot of divorce, a lot of affairs? You know, the average person is not stupid enough to just start an affair, but make them drunk enough and they'll do all sorts of stupid stuff. If you have those things guiding your life, they will take you from one pit to the next pit to the next pit, and eventually they'll take you to the pit of hell. So you need to realize that those are not the things that need to guide your life. You need the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, not thirsty for worldly things, thirsty for the river of God, thirsty for the life that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. The number one thing that you need to be tonight is thirsty. You hear what I'm saying? The number one thing that you need to be tonight is thirsty for the living water of life. And when you are thirsty, there is only one place that you will find the living water of life. Jesus is the answer. Jesus says, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. When you come to Him and you are thirsty, when you come to Him and you acknowledge your dependence on Him, you acknowledge that you can't do it yourself, then He gives you. You know, in the New Testament, when Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit that would be poured out, He explained to the disciples that the Holy Spirit would be a gift given by God. That God would grant them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tell me something, gifts. Do you pay people for them? Have you ever gone to a birthday party where somebody gave the birthday boy or birthday girl a wonderful gift and then they kept standing there and eventually the person said, well, thank you for the gift. Is there anything else? Yeah, $500. I hope I didn't give anybody any ideas yet tonight. You see, gifts, they don't work that way. You don't give somebody a gift and then you make them pay something for it. There is nothing that you can pay God for the Holy Ghost. Not when Jesus has already paid it all. What more can a man give than his life? Nothing. So whatever needed to be given was given. And that is why the Holy Spirit could not be poured out until after Jesus paid the price. He gave His life, which is the most any man can give. And after that, the gift was given. And every time the gift is given, it is freely given. You see, unfortunately, the church is full of people that feel that they have to earn the right to be filled with the Holy Ghost. A lot of people feel that, oh, but I can't ask Jesus for the Holy Spirit because I'm not righteous enough. I know. Neither am I. But that doesn't change the fact that Jesus made me righteous. Hello? That was the purpose of the blood. When God sees the blood, He stops looking for sin because it's gone. You hear what I'm saying? Before the blood came upon my life, you could argue that there was a lot of unrighteousness in my life. But now that the blood is there, that's all God sees. And the blood testifies, not guilty. Hello? In the Old Testament, when they took the bull or the calf or whatever and they slaughtered it, they took all the blood and they poured it out. Amen. All right, somebody help me. Where was I now? Yes. When, in the Old Testament, they would take the blood They would take that blood to the altar. They would pour it out over the altar. And once the blood covered the altar, the sin was covered. There was no more sin. Amen. Okay, so some people say, yeah, but you know what? I don't live a good enough life. You can't live a good enough life. That's why God made another plan for you. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can't live a good enough life because nothing that you do is good enough to deserve, based on your works, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is why He is freely given. Amen. Imagine it this way. You go to the university and you want to enroll for a course. Let's say you want to study engineering. You go to the university and you say to them, I want to study engineering. Please enroll me in your course. They take a look at you and they say, please go through that door and go and write the final exam. If you pass, we will let you enter. What kind of university is that? A stupid one. But that's exactly the way a lot of Christians think. They think they have to be perfect first and then they can have the Holy Spirit. When without Him, you can never even come close to attaining a smidgen of perfection. It's only with His help that we can begin to live a better life. Because He is our teacher. He is our guide. He is our helper. Please say with me, helper. Now repeat after me. I need a helper. It's amazing how quickly you begin to understand the Bible when the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. People without the Holy Spirit read the Bible and they keep saying things like, this doesn't make any sense. This only confuses me. It will confuse you. Because the Bible wasn't written for your brain, it was written for your spirit. Hello? The Bible wasn't written for your brain, it was written for your spirit. And therefore, you need a translator. You need somebody to sit between the brain and the heart, so that what goes through the brain can be translated into the spirit and make sense. A lot of people don't have the translator. They simply have the brain and they fill their brain with all sorts of knowledge about the Bible and then they use it in a pathetic way to destroy other people. Have you seen a lot of people use the Bible in really crazy ways? To break others down, to belittle people, to prove their own opinions. The problem is no translator. If they had the translator, he would have taken that what is in the brain, translated it into something practical, something that could change life, and put it in the heart, and you would have gone, wow, is that how it works? The Bible can never make sense to somebody that tries to study it from a purely humanistic point of view. But the Bible makes perfect sense if the helper helps you to understand it. We said in John 16 verse 12 to 14 that the Holy Spirit can speak. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Where is He going to guide you? Into all truth. The difference between truth and error is the difference between success and failure. Do you know why so many people fail at everything that they do? Because they don't follow the truth. The truth leads to success. Following a lie means going to a place that brings failure. Now he says here, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. In other words, the Holy Ghost doesn't tell you His opinion on things. He tells you what God says, finished and klar. Now that's a good news. Because a lot of people, when they speak to you, they give you their opinions. They tell you, this is not how I see it. How many times have you spoken to somebody and then you share with them some truth that you have received from the scriptures and then they roll their eyes and they say, that's not the way I interpret the Bible. That's not the way our church sees it. Listen, young man. There is only one truth that will set you free. That's what does God say. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can take you through all that nonsense directly to the truth. Why do you need to get to the truth? Because that's where the power lies. That's where lives begin to change. If he is the Spirit of truth, what do you think he thinks about lies? What would you say does the Spirit of truth think about lies? Let me teach you something that you must never forget. A lot of Christians don't experience the power of the Holy Ghost because their mouth is not saved yet. Because they tell one lie after the other lie after the other lie, and the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of lie cannot exist in the same mouth. Do you hear what I'm saying? There are a lot of people that have been in church for a long, long time, but they never got their mouth saved. We said just now, the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Can I tell you what is one of the quickest ways to grieve the Holy Spirit? Is to lie. When you begin to lie, you grieve the Spirit of God. When you grieve the Spirit of truth, you stop going in the direction of truth and you begin to veer towards the lie. The lie leads to failure. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now let me put it to you this way. If lies are part of your life, and remember, lies is not just something you speak, it's sometimes what you do. A lot of people can be very false. Isn't false just another way of saying untrue? Oh, hi, how are you? It's so nice to see you. Meanwhile, what are you thinking? What's this clown doing here? Who invited her? I have nothing against you. I'm just using you as an example. And you don't look like a clown, don't worry. But isn't that just the way some people do things? Listen to me. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do not be a hypocrite. Huh? Do not be a hypocrite. Be true to who you are. You know, the Pharisees used to love to pray out loud. Why? To impress people. The church is still full of people that like to impress other people. They like to impress them with the cars that they drive. They like to impress them with the clothes that they wear. They like to impress them by their position in the church. Ooh, I can see with the organ. Be true to who you are. Don't try and be something that you are not, because then you are being false. And if you are false, the Spirit of truth cannot work in you, will not use you. And if truth is not part of your life, then you are going to be living a lie. And you will never know what God has planned for you. You are always going to fall from one pit to the next pit to the next pit. One of the quickest ways to grieve the Holy Spirit is to either lie or be false. On the other hand, he will surely bless a person of truth and honesty. Do you want to be blessed by the Holy Spirit? Please raise your hands and say, oh Lord, please bless me with your Holy Spirit. Then by definition, you have also just said to the Lord, Lord, I endeavor to start speaking the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I endeavor to start being true to myself, and I will not put on masks, and I will not be somebody that I'm not. Hello? Because that's what you're going to have to do. The more we preach the truth, and by that we mean the full truth. Why do I say that? Because you see, in some churches, in some congregations, you must be very careful what you preach. Because you step on big toes, and then you've got problems. If it's in the Bible, you have to hear it. Say that with me. If it's in the Bible, I have to hear it. You see, you don't get to choose what you hear. God gets to choose what you hear. Now, the world is full of Christians that get offended by certain types of messages. How can they preach that? How can they say that? We say that because it's in the Bible. And you need to hear it. Now the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. How much power do you think you're going to have if you choose what truth to hear and what to push away. Can you have the truth? No, not that way. Not if you only, you know what, I'll settle for Ephesians 1 and 2, but Ephesians 3 and 4, that's kokai. I don't want that stuff. And I'll settle for Genesis, and I'll settle for Leviticus, and I'll settle for, but Amos and this and that. Stop the bus. You take the full truth, or you don't take it at all. Do you hear what I'm saying? And the way God feels about things is the right way to feel about it. There's no more negotiation about it. You know? We think because we've become quite liberal, that God is also quite liberal. You know? Now that we've been brainwashed and we've gotten used to half-naked women on the television, God must actually be okay with it. Now, you know what, Rian? It's actually fine that I watch these movies at 12 o'clock on a Saturday night because, you know what, if God didn't want it that way, he wouldn't have created women so sexy and blah, blah. Yeah, what nonsense are you talking? What nonsense are you talking? I'm thinking the spirit of this world has brainwashed you. Go and see what the Bible says and do it. Live the truth. Accept the fullness of the truth. And the fullness of truth will work in you. And you will have power. Amen. That is why a lot of churches just really don't have a lot of life to offer. Because they are very selective in what they offer. We can't be selective. Your life depends on it. Eternal salvation depends on it. Jesus is the Savior. How can I only expose you to a third of who Jesus is? Because the other two thirds you don't like. It's politically incorrect. The Bible is not politically anything. The Bible is not a political book. It's a handbook for life. Hello? It's a handbook for life. Imagine if we sent a doctor into the field, a surgeon, but we only allowed him to study the brain. Nothing else. And then he has to go and do an appendectomy. How far are you going to get? Because nobody ever gave him that. We tore that out. Do you know that destruction is going to follow him wherever he goes? So what makes you think it's any different when we are so selective in what we allow God to speak into our lives? It's going to be disaster upon disaster upon disaster. Amen? But you see, that's not the way we're going to do it. Because we're going to accept the truth, the full truth, and nothing but the truth. Can somebody say amen to that, please? Amen. Bless God. Did anybody learn something tonight? Amen. Give the Lord a big hand, please. All right. Let me just see how we are doing for time. I think we finished. Probably we are finished. All right. I'm very happy and I'm very blessed that you learned something tonight. And I want to invite you to come again on Tuesday night because probably there's a bit more that God wants you to know. You see, the thing is, my friend, you need a good foundation so that God can build on that foundation, and you are getting that foundation by coming here and learning these things. And what I want to suggest is when you get the CD later on, the CD that I'm going to give you is last week's message. You want tonight's one, come next week and I'll give you that one. But go and listen to it again, because you know what? There's a lot of stuff that probably hasn't sunk in yet. But if you listen to it two or three or four times, it's going to start sinking in. And you never know. God might send somebody across your path next week or the week after or a year from now that needs to hear some of this stuff. And then you can give them the truth. And the truth will set them free. And won't that be exciting? Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your word that makes things so simple. Yes, Lord, the Bible says that unless we become as a little child, we will not enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, the Bible cannot be such a difficult book as some people say, because children don't do difficult. And when the Holy Spirit helps us, it really does become quite simple, elementary actually. I thank you, Lord, that tonight you expounded and you opened up the word for us so that we could make sense and so that these simple truths could fill our hearts. I thank you for every person that is here tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that they came with an expectation and that they came with a receptive heart. Lord, they have no idea how tonight's message and the truth that filled them is going to impact their future. Because, Lord, where there is a foundation, building is sure to follow. Did you hear what I said? Where God puts a foundation, building is sure to follow. And Lord, I thank you that you are the master builder. You are the one that is going to build something amazing, something phenomenal on this foundation. Holy Spirit, I thank you that in the days to come and in the weeks to come, this word is going to stay alive in their spirits. And they are going to experience the power of God's word like never before. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.